This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. We will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dr. Eduardo Rivera. His website is edrivera.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-A. Rivera.com, edrivera.com. And you were talking about the fact that the Constitution was not ratified, but wasn't it ratified by 9 states?
No. It's ratified by 9 states. The document, remember, the document is going to speak. It's going to tell you everything you need to know. Article 7, it says the ratification of 9 states is going to be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states so ratifying the same. All it takes is 9 states, 9 out of the 13 states, to ratify the Constitution, to establish it among those states. So that tells you one thing. It's not doing away with the Articles of Confederation, because the Articles of Confederation can only be abolished upon the vote of 13 of the states. So the document is going to tell you what it's doing. All you have to do is understand the document, not add anything to it, not take anything away from it. So that's the states. The states are can only ratify. The states can't be a part of the government. The operative part of the state government functions according to the Constitution. It recognizes the rights of the power of the central government to acquire property and to make defenses that are going to secure the states against invasion. But that's it. The states don't elect. They elect the president of the United States of America. The states do, not the people, because it's not that kind of a system.
The whole idea,
what they did was to confuse the people so that they could think that the president of the United States had some power over the people. Well, the only thing this president of the United States does under the Constitution is sign bills when he approves them and makes his objections on bills that he does not approve of. That's the only duty of the president of the United States. And then to get that job, he has to take an oath. But he just has to take an oath, which he has to orally take an oath, which is what all presidents have ever done, is take an oral oath. What good is an oral oath? All it does is say, I'm going to promise to do a good job. The oath that it counts is the one in the Article 6. Article 6, though, says that the persons of the government, the representatives, the legislators, the judiciary, and the other executive officers are going to be bound by oath. Now, to bind somebody by oath, they have to sign. That's the tradition in English law since 1677, when the Statutes of Frauds and Perjuries was passed under King, I think King Charles II, to establish that if you're going to claim something in a court, it's going to be to transfer property or to do certain other things that are covered under the law. You have to have a writing signed by the person that's going to be charged. And so that means if you're going to be bound, you have to sign something. You have to sign the oath that you're going to support this Constitution, which is the language that's used in the Constitution. You have to be bound to support this Constitution. And then when the Constitution is finally created and set in the final form, the delegates sign it. They say, here, we're going to sign it. This is our work product. And we're going to send it to the Congress to have it sent to the state.
Okay. All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Is Dr. Eduardo Rivera. His website is edrivera.com, and we do have some callers lining up. Would you like to conclude some of your remarks that you just before the going to the break? I don't want to cut into your thought there.
Well, we're just finishing up on how the Constitution is not adopted.
Right.
The Constitution, of course, is made up of a bunch of words, and so if you start cataloging all the words, you'll figure out what the Constitution means, because the word adopted is used twice, and you have to figure out what the adoption means. So when you finally figure it out, it means that it has to be sworn to by the people in the government in order to be adopted.
And what about the people in the country? I mean,
well, they don't. The people have nothing to do with the Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, look at the government. They think, well, it's a contract. Well, it's not a contract because there's nobody to contract with.
Why have we been have we been misled or what?
Well, it's not the what was misleading was the whole idea of creating a document that is going to govern people. The whole idea is ridiculous. Because the primary object that governs people is the unwritten law, the law that's built into people,
right,
that creates fairness or creates the ideals of morality. Those things,
right,
are built into people, and what you have to do is you have to recognize how that's going to run your life and not how somebody else is going to do it.
Right. So, that's great.
Use the one to avoid the other.
Right. Okay, let's take a phone call. Let's take Patrick from North Carolina. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your show. It's very interesting, and I did want to bring up a couple of points that perhaps your guest might not have considered before, but my first point is that I believe he's given too much credit to Mr. Washington, and he was, if you read the history books that I've got, it shows he tried to get out of attending the Constitutional Convention on a couple of occasions, but it, from what I gather, he was ultimately bribed into attending this thing. He tried to get out of it. He didn't want to be there, but they said if he goes, you know, they would, I guess, agreed to make him the president. So he attended it reluctantly. He was not a very intelligent man. His military career is proof of that. And he was not all wise and all knowing. And he was just a tool. And the reason that they, my second point is the reason they got rid of the Articles of Confederation was due to money. All the money we borrowed to fight the independence, the war for independence, we owed to Dutch bankers and France. And the states under the Articles of Confederation were not paying their fair share, so they had to abandon them. And if you read the Anti-Federalist Papers, you'll see that he's telling the truth, that it was a conspiracy against the states. But once they bribed all the delegates at these state conventions to go along on the sham, everybody who was in on it, they agreed that the Constitution would become the supreme law of the land. They all knew what they were doing. And if you read the arguments of the Anti-Federalists, it's very clear it was a conspiracy against the people. And it was from that point on, we have been misled, but everybody who was in on it knew, even the Anti-Federalists such as Patrick Henry, they all knew that once the Constitution was ratified, it would become the supreme law of the land. I was just wondering what your guests had to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't use any of the documents that that Patrick referred to. I don't use the Federalist Papers. I don't use the Anti-Federalist Papers. I don't use anything except the organic law and the history that you can check off the Internet, the dates of the election of the President of the United States of America, George Washington, is April 6th, 1789. That's when they count the votes. And you can just Google that date, and it'll come up. You don't have to go to any particular document. What you're going to do is you're going to use facts. That fact, April 6, 1789, he's elected President of the United States of America per the Constitution. And then on April 30th, he takes the oral oath of office for President of the United States. President of the United States, not President of the United States of America. And you can check that against the Constitution, the organic law. I tell my students, if you're going to buy any books, buy their book, buy the United States Code. The first volume of the United States Code contains the organic laws, and then contains the first five titles of the United States Code. And from that, you'll be able to figure out that this law is limited to federal territory. Well, what else do you have to do? If the law is limited to federal territory and you're not on federal territory, it doesn't apply to you. I mean, how much more information do you need? You don't have to do a tremendous amount of research on using unreliable sources.
All righty. Patrick, are you still there?
Yes, I'm not arguing, trying to argue against his contentions. I was just basically stating that the people who were voting to ratify at the states' ratification conventions, all of the 13 states sent delegates to these conventions. Most of those delegates who were anti-federalist, they put forth the arguments in their papers as why the Constitution should not be accepted and ratified. And if you look at their arguments, it's very clear that they knew that once the Constitution was ratified by the delegates of these states' conventions, that it would become the supreme law of the land. And I was just trying to fit. ask your guest what those words, supreme law of the land, meant to him.
Well, it's what it means is that the supreme law, that it's going to be the supreme law of the land that is owned by the United States of America. That's absolutely clear.
Okay, and what land is the land that is owned by the United States of America?
Well, you can recognize it very easily. You've got a big sign up front that says property United States government or property United States of America or National Park or Camp Pendleton.
Okay. All right.
And then you check the property record and say, yeah, it's owned by the United States of America.
Okay.
Not where you live.
Okay. Interesting. All right, Patrick, did you have another question or comment?
No, that was it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, let's take Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, welcome to the program.
Thanks. My understanding of the Constitution, or what people believe the Constitution is a limitation on the federal government to prevent them from growing out of hand. The states actually were controlling themselves, and our country became great under that belief. And now when the country is really all upside down and it's been perverted from that, and we're in way worse trouble than ever before, trying to confuse what people supposedly believed back then is not making it any better. It's actually making it worse. Whenever anyone adds confusion to the problem, you're making it worse. And I think what you're doing is adding confusion.
Okay.
I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth using the documents and the history of the country.
So that's one of the things
how,
we said.
How do you confuse people with the truth?
Well, you're analyzing it from today's perspective. We don't really know.
I just gave you a date, April 6, 1789. George Washington is made president of the United States of America. That's a fact.
All right.
That's not a fact I made up today.
No.
That's a fact from April 6, 1789. George Washington is elected president of the United States of America by having the votes counted of the presidential election in Congress.
And you said that their intention was for them to gain and for us to lose. Well, can you give
me... No, that's just a consequence of what we know today. That's something that we know today. Your people aren't winning.
Well, why would they limit if they wanted to control all the property of the United States? Why would they put right into the Constitution that the United States can only have certain limited property?
You missed the part that I told you that the Constitution has not been adopted by government. The President of the United States takes an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, not this Constitution. Article 6, you go to Article 6 of the Constitution, and it says that the legislators, the judiciary, the executives, they're going to be bound by oath to support this Constitution. Those are the exact words. The George Washington took an oath that's in the Constitution, so it looks like a constitutional oath. But it's an oral oath. Every president since has taken the same oral oath. It's an oral oath. You're not going to find any record in any presidential library of any president taking a written oath. Now, who's going to be bound by an oral oath? Nobody. The Constitution has not been adopted.
Considering that the people's belief that it was has made this country great, how is your definition of what went on benefiting anything?
Okay, Joel, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Dr. Rivera, hang on. We've got to go to a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
Warning. for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is Dr. Eduardo Rivera, and his website is edrivera.com. And, you know, I have some questions. First of all, what constitutes a great country? And it seems that a written oath and a vocal oath are two entirely different things. And when a man takes an oath of office, what is he swearing to do? And is he taking it according to the Constitution and to the Constitution rather than he's not taking an oath to do his job according to what is right and good for the people. Is that, am I making myself clear?
Well, in order to be bound by an oath, you've got to write your name down and say, I support this Constitution. That's all you have to do. And none of the presidents do that. So they're not really bound by this Constitution. They're bound by the Constitution of the United States, which is, hey, all the property that the United States of America owns, I got to take care of it. That's what the presidential oath is. When on January 20th, if Obama does not get reelected, somebody like Romney is going to say that
he's going to take care of the property.
I will solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, you go to Article 6, and it says, that the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to adopt this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So it's absolutely clear that there's one oath that's oral, taken, an oath that's taken, but not sworn to, not one that binds the taker.
Okay. So because basically, what is he swearing to do?
He's just swearing to do a good job.
Okay.
There's two kinds of offices. There's an office of employment and an office of honor. And the office of honor is what we think of as a government work, where there's no pay. If you pay somebody to do something, you're the employer. And the person who swears that they're going to do a good job is the employee. That's the President of the United States. He's the employee. The person who takes a position of honor to support this Constitution, that president does it for free. He's not going to be bound by anything except the document that he's taken his office under, the Constitution. And so in order to having to do that, he doesn't take that oath.
Right. Okay. Does that answer your question? Let's see. Was that Patrick in Wisconsin?
Joel. No, it's Joel.
Joel, I'm sorry. I don't have the list in front of me.
It just adds to the confusion. I have one more question then. If, from what your guest says, that the Constitution was written for those people that wrote it to gain and for the people to lose. My question is, why do they have to usurp it to get what they want? Why wouldn't they push it instead of usurping it?
Well, the history of this document proves that they were right. They understood human nature. They understood how people think. These people were geniuses at getting their way.
Then why are they not upholding the Constitution if it was designed for their benefit? Why do they have to?
Nobody is required to. They don't have to.
Oh, because they didn't sign an oath.
Yeah, the thing is, it's created exactly in a way so that it prevents the adoption of the Constitution until July 4th, 1790. If you go to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, the qualifications for the office of president, you'll see that the president has to qualify as a citizen of the United States or a natural-born citizen. He has to be 35 years of age, and he's got to be 14 years a resident within the United States. So the United States of America is created on July 4th, 1776. You add 14 years to July 4th, 1776, and you get July 4th, 1790. You cannot have anybody fill the office of president under the Constitution until after July 4th, 1790. George Washington becomes president of the United States on April 6th, 1789. It's just a matter of doing the figuring.
Okay.
Don't use anything but the Constitution, not the Federalist Papers, not the Anti-Federalist Papers, not your mother's diary or your great-great-great-grandmother's diary or your grandfather's diary. You use the Constitution to understand the document.
All righty. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. And, Joel, if you want to hang on through the break, that's fine.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Today is Dr. Eduardo Rivera. His website is edrivera.com. We will take calls at 800-313-9443. And I think if I understand Joel's question, he asked if they created a constitution to benefit themselves, why have they abandoned it? Is it because they never swore an oath to it, to uphold it, and can then do whatever they want, including creating U.S. code, executive orders, and have the Supreme Court create presidents?
Well, who says abandon it? They use it as a club over the people.
How do they do that?
Well, they claim that they're a government.
That's the reason.
And when they're really just a corporation, and their assets are limited to what the Washington D.C. the military. Encampments, bases, the national parks, the forests, and they claim authority over everybody using that document.
Okay.
You understand? Hey, well, it's just a piece of paper that establishes a corporation known as the United States, and it's a governing instrument for the United States of America over the United States, also known as their property. It loses all its charm.
All righty.
Were the national parks and the forests in the original Constitution, or were they put in later?
Well, they're either purchased, or they come into the hands of the government by treaty.
Right, but that's right there. They're usurping their original constitution. Why wouldn't they have had them in originally instead of having us need them in later?
The original constitution is the Articles of Confederation.
That's
real government.
Originally, but supposedly the constitution at the Constitutional Convention corrected that. They made it different at that time, and it was ratified by I think 9 of the states.
Yeah, so it means.
So then the Articles of Confederation were history.
No, if you go to Article 9 and Article 10 of the Articles of Confederation, it says that the 9 states shall be sufficient to operate the United States of America while the Congress is in recess. Well, the United States of America has been in recess since 1787 or 1788. It fails to meet. It doesn't adjourn. It doesn't do anything except fails to meet. And then the Constitution takes over, and then the Senate is operating the Articles of Confederation.
Well, my question was, because you used the forest and the parks as their...
You can own a forest, you can own a park.
You said that they were using the Constitution against us, but... through the forest and the parks,
it's just property.
Okay, but why didn't they put that in there in the first place then? Why did they have to sneak it in later? You haven't answered that question.
What did they sneak what in?
The national parks and the forest, because originally they weren't supposed to have only...
National parks and the forest aren't in the Constitution.
The original one, they said they could only own posts for roads and post office. And military bases. They didn't say nothing about national parks or forests.
A corporation can own anything. The United States of America is a corporation, too.
I know, but you use that as an example, and it's not in there. I'm pointing out to you that your example is not in the original Constitution.
It's an example of something that they can own.
It's an example of their usurping the Constitution. You used it in their benefit, and I'm using it against them.
And it's property. They own belt buckles, too. They own every piece of military equipment. That's not in the Constitution.
Can you give me an example of George Washington using his authority over a state governor?
Oh, absolutely. The militia law. Passed under his administration, requiring the citizens of the United States to own muskets and other military equipment so that they could be part of the militia.
Also, the Whiskey Rebellion.
It's the beginning of the conscription, the draft.
Yes.
But the militias were state operated.
That's right. The federal government ordered them their equipment, that they had to buy equipment so that they could be part of the militia, the state militia. And then the Constitution provides for the federalization of the militia.
All righty. Yeah. We do have to move on to other callers because we are running shorter on time. So thank you very much, Joe, for calling in. All righty. Let's take Glenn in Las Vegas. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Ed. I admit I'm one of your students, albeit I've been a very lazy student. The man has me working so hard on the plantation these days that by the time I get home, I'm exhausted to read through your material. However, I would like to take the conversation in a slightly different direction. It's wonderful that you're shedding light on this subject. But let's fast forward a bit, and let's talk about the Civil War a moment. My understanding is that, from the other patriot groups that are out there in the information that's in cyberspace, is that the Civil War, in fact, was not fought over slavery initially, that slavery was brought in a year or two later and pushed to the forefront as a topic. But some of the other patriot groups are bringing up subject material such as the Treaty of Paris, and that after the Revolutionary War, this country was far indebted to France for money that it had borrowed, and that the Treaty of Paris was an agreement between newly formed country and the king to settle the debt to the king of France. However, there's also information that the King of England purchased the debt from France, and then thus we became enslaved all over again and indebted to the king. So I was wondering if you could talk about that. And secondly, about the Civil War, what's your personal take on Lincoln? On one hand, he kicked the international bankers to the curb by printing his own money, right? So there was no interest attached to that with the greenbacks. Yet on the other hand, he overreached and extended his power to the southern states that wanted to succeed, and in fact, they should have had every right to succeed from the Union. So what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, let's start with Lincoln. All presidents have gone beyond their power because their power is limited to the federal territory, the territory that's owned by the United States of America. And the government that's created, or the institution that's created to take care of that property. So they all will go beyond their authority. And Lincoln, just it went even farther than that with the suspension of habeas corpus, the starting the war, prosecuting the war.
And it was based on a false flag, basically. And I mean, it was a fratricidal war. Marx and Engels absolutely applauded his actions. I have this covered in my book, and it's not what we've been taught in school.
Okay. What about, can you speak to the Treaty of Paris, and in fact, if that was it?
Well, there's several treaties of Paris because Paris is a location for negotiations between other fighting nations. I assume you're talking about the Treaty of Paris of 1783 that settled the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, it was the one right out. I believe it was Franklin was there and some representatives for the king.
Yeah, well, it has nothing to do with debt except that whoever claimed to owe money still owes the money. And the treaty just made sure that everybody who had an interest before the war continued in that commercial interest after the war. And there was no penalties against the British loyalists in America. Of course, they all left America. Most of them went to Canada or went back to Britain. But it had very little to do with the debt. The debt is a private thing.
Right. It was owed to the bankers.
Yeah.
Okay. There's information out on the Patriot Networks about this topic, and the direction they steer in is that the country was in debt and that there was an agreement through the Treaty of Paris to repay that debt. The southern states weren't meeting the obligations, and that's what eventually sparked
all this stuff. No. The southern states were basically a colony of the north. The southern states were very Christianized, while the North was very socialized, and this was a function of a lot of the socialists who entered this country following the 1848 revolutions in Europe. So, I mean, you know, it's more than just a couple of things. There's a lot of variables that make up the history of the Civil War, Lincoln's War, who started it, why they started it, what it did. I mean, it killed almost 700,000 people. I mean, that's horrible. That's a revolution. That's the revolution in this country that they failed to have in Europe. And most people do not understand this.
And it didn't have to happen because under the common law, ownership of another human being was lawful. And you can't change the common law except by the people.
And slavery would have ended naturally on its own. And there were more slaves in the North than there were in the South. And as you said, slavery was not an issue until about a year after the war, and it did not apply to the slaves in the North, only the slaves in the South. So there's a lot of confusion about Lincoln's war. I refuse to call it a civil war.
All right.
Okay.
Going back. I have one more question.
Sure,
go ahead. Going back to federal territories and public lands and all that stuff, with the wave of foreclosures sweeping across this country, it's all presumed that these homes are under on federal territory when you go in, into
That's
the
That's right. All written laws assume that.
Okay. Now, do the judges, how much of the judges do they know this stuff, be it the local county judge or the federal appointed judges?
None of the judges, none of the lawyers know this because it's not taught in law school. I went to an accredited law school. They don't teach you the organic law. That should be the basis of the law, because all they're teaching you is written law. They claim that the first year of law school is common law, and there's some common law principles there, but they really don't teach you the distinction between common law and written law. Common law is a unwritten law system, because it's written in the sense that it's made up of words. It's an oral culture. It's the language of the common law is English, and so you'll find the definitions for common law crimes in the dictionary. Murder is the unlawful killing of a human being. So that basically is the common law definition of murder, homicide. The written law just codifies those laws, the common law, and turns it into law for the federal territory.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All righty, let's take Shirley in Minnesota. Shirley, welcome to the program.
I enjoy the program so much and try to listen to it as often as I can. And I thank you for your guest, and I have a question for him. You were talking about the presidents being sworn into office. And when Obama, I have a question about this, but when Obama was sworn into office, you know, publicly, he made a mistake. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they had him swear in privately. And I'm just questioning whether we have a right to know what this was all about, or was it just an honest mistake, which is hard to believe.
Well, what happened was the Chief Justice was doing the prompting of the oath. And so he got faithfully mixed up. So he put faithfully execute faithfully the laws of the. Let me go back to the actual language so I don't screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
So he said faithfully execute the office. Faithfully execute is the way it's in the Constitution, and he said execute faithfully. So he just reversed the order. Faithfully, in public, but it's an oral oath. So,
right.
How can somebody do an oral oath? We have TV, we have video of the event, because it was wrong in the event, the actual inauguration that took place at noon on January 20th, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually elected. He was elected President of the United States of America on January 6th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2009. So he's elected president of the United States of America first, and then takes an oral oath to be president of the United States, and no one sees it.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
The best.
Yeah.
No one understands.
What?
Two different offices.
Okay, explain that again. On January 6th, he's elected as president of
January. They count the electoral. Everybody. Most astute people know the people do not elect the president.
Right, yeah.
Okay, what do? They vote for a president of the United States. And all the legislation, the federal laws, the campaigning, all that stuff is made for a president of the United States. The electors actually vote for a president of the United States of America. But all
they
say president and vice president. They don't distinguish between the President of the United States and the President of the United States of America. If you go to the voting certificates, they're going to be either President or President of the United States, but never President of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to, there's a video on C-SPAN's network about the showing the actual count, the vote count, because it's in the Constitution. The Constitution says that the President of the United States of America is going to be elected when the votes are counted before Congress. And so they actually have an actual vote count.
So you can see them counting the votes in the House of Representatives. They have the Senate. The members of the Senate appear. The House of Representatives are there. And they start counting the votes. And then they all cheer when Obama's elected. But they say he's elected President of the United States. Not President of the United States of America.
Right, right.
The Constitution in Article 2, Section 1, Clauses 2 and 3 describes the process. And then that's amended in the 12th Amendment.
All righty.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it. All righty, we do have to cut to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesense, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Our guest today has been Dr. Eduardo Rivera, and his website is edrivera.com. You can sign up for his classes there, read his articles. We do have a caller, Thomas from Sweden. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ms. Bingall and Dr. Rivera. I have one question here. Is either the United States or the United States of America a legal state in the sense of, let's say, well, Sweden or Belgium or Argentina?
Well, that's the United States of America under the Articles of Confederation. That's the legal state.
And that's a state because my impression was that it was a union of states. I think of General Lee when it's a union. But is a union a state?
Well, it's the states delegate the authority to act on their behalf to the Confederacy. We have 50. Robert, we have 50 states. So you can imagine how crowded the international forum is going to be. You have 50 states trying to represent their own interests. So the basis of the Confederacy was that the states are going to delegate to the United States of America their these particular powers that they at every state, every sovereign, independent, and free state has. They're going to delegate certain of those to the United States of America so that they can negotiate with the other states.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. Yes, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. All righty. So tell us a little bit about the course, what it involves, and what students can expect to receive.
You can get started right away by going to my website and starting reading from the beginning, because we start with the oath-taking of Obama and how the presidency worked, because George Washington takes over the government by taking over the presidency, combining the two offices of president, President of the United States and President of the United States of America. The same way that Hitler is a student of George Washington, because Hitler combined those two offices, head of state and head of the government. It's a very potent combination.
I don't know that he did that.
Well, if you there's a movie called Nuremberg. I think it was put out by one of the channels, HBO or Showtime.
Oh, right.
and so they describe the Nuremberg trials, and Hermann Göring is
well,
examined.
you know anything that's on TV is very questionable, given that our media is pretty much controlled by either the government or by private corporations. So, but just tell us what your students can expect.
Okay, what happens is that you start learning history by looking at the facts that are provable on the internet. Because on the internet you get every view possible. So you just check out everything that I state, for instance, that George Washington became president of the United States of America on April 6th. You Google that, you find, hey, that's true.
Okay.
And you build on those facts, and then you can come up with your own understanding of the Constitution.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being on the program today, Dr. Rivera.
Pleasure.
And I've got to start studying.
You have to be a good student.
Okay, I will try.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.